This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from the Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, it is the Lombardi Line as we welcome you back here on a Monday. Hope you had a nice weekend. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point with my man Wes Reynolds sitting in for Michael Lombardi. Will Hill is hanging out with us, of course, New York City cast host. You can find all of our podcasts, which are awesome, over at VSiN.com/podcast, even the GM shuffle up there with our guy, Michael Lombardi. It was an attitude adjustment, was the way that Draymond put it. And you can look at the Steph numbers, and you laid it out perfectly in the last segment. Steph has been awesome. You know, he talked about after the game in the postgame presser how he's kind of beefed up his frame. You know, if you think about Steph, he's one of the great stories ever. He didn't even have a handle. He didn't have a position coming out of Davidson. He's turned into one of the better ball handlers we've ever had. He's completely reformed his body. He can defend. Now, he's not the defender that some people say he is, but he's revolutionized the game, and he's the leader on a team that potentially is in its third iteration of a dynasty. He's fascinating. Now, another piece of that is Draymond. Draymond's presence. And this is important, how he's officiated. He got the tech early, but Draymond's presence, he could have got another. Draymond's presence was huge last night. And again, you'll get the officials. Maybe the extender is going to be in the mix, Wes, on Wednesday. You'll know 9 a.m. Eastern time what the officiating crew is going to be. But I thought Draymond's impact was huge, Will.
Yeah, I don't know if you'll get the extender. You might need to save him in case somebody gets a big lead in this series. If it's 3-1, 3-2, it's almost like, you know, he's like Mariano Rivera. You gotta save him for when you need him, Scott Foster. But I think you make a good point about Steph, about Draymond. It's funny. I've always heard Steph is stronger than you think. Like, he squats more than anybody else on the team. He's really worked hard, like you said, on his body. I always think back to Davidson when they're in the Elite Eight. They're down two. He has the ball with a couple seconds left. He has a chance to shoot a three to put him in the Final Four, and he ends up passing. They lose to Kansas, and Kansas goes on to win the title. But, yeah, it's a good point about Draymond. He's a smart player. He's probably going to go to the Hall of Fame. I think he's definitely going to go to the Hall of Fame. We could debate whether he's a Hall of Famer. I thought at times he was out of control last night. I mean, he was very lucky he did not get ejected. I mean, he puts his foot in Jaylen Brown's face, and then Brown gets mad that his foot's in his face, and then he gets mad that Brown's mad. I thought he was completely out of control, and he's lucky he didn't get ejected last night.
It was so funny when Steph is trying to run that pick and roll, and Draymond's like trying to somewhat screen, but he'd basically just like put his head down and just like he was a fullback. He was just pushing dudes out of the way, and all of a sudden you give Steph a little bit of space, and he, of course, knocked down the three.
No, that's what I mean. If he gets the second tech last night, it's a completely different ballgame. So you have to – how he's officiated is very important. It's almost like it's a blessing and his curse with his reputation. He's going to get teed up quickly because you're expecting it, but then he has a reputation as a vet on this dynastic team, so they don't want to tee him up again. He's always kind of dancing that fine line, but I thought just overall, outside of the hot start from the Celtics, he did a good job as a primary defender on Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, and when you have Green and now you have Payton, that's a lot of defense, and I wonder – it's almost blasphemy to even suggest this. I wonder if it'll creep into Kerr's mind down the stretch of this series. Could you ever take Clay off the court? Could you get to a point if he's not hitting shots, he's not the same defender? Could you really do that? I don't know that that's a terrible idea. I don't know that Clay deserves to be on the court some of these times. Now, again, he might have one of these games where he pops off for 30 and he looks like the Clay of old, but it's a fascinating decision because Clay has meant so much to that team, so much to that franchise, but he's just not the same player anymore.
Mr. Judge, AL MVP, what do you got here?
Yeah, I'm seeing 3-1, and now it's not the best of the number, but again, we saw this last year with Ohtani where, you know, he's 50-1, then he goes down, you know, 10-1, 3-1, and some people say, you know what, I don't want to bet him at 3-1 or even money because he was 50-1. Well, he ended up closing minus 5,000, and that's not going to happen with Judge. He's not going to run and hide like Ohtani did, but if you just look around the rest of the field here for the AL, and there's a long way to go, but Yankees are probably going to win 100 games. He's going to hit 50-plus homers. He might even flirt with 60. Ohtani, I think there's been a little bit of regression with the pitching. His average is way down. I know we don't look at batting average anymore, but he strikes out a lot. I think the novelty has sort of worn off with Ohtani. Trout's gone, what, over his last 30? The Angels have lost 11 in a row, so I don't know that a position player can really win it over Judge with the years he's having. Again, he's got to stay healthy, but he's done a pretty good job of staying healthy this last year and a half or so. So I think that plus 300 will move. I think, you know, it's not going to be even money in the next week or two, but I think you're going to get to a point where Judge is a decided favorite, considering, the Ohtani regression, considering Trout and the Angels. I guess you could make a case for Ramirez at 12-1, but Guerrero's not having a big time year. I just don't know who else would jump up and take it. And I think there'll be a little bit of a narrative for Judge. Not only he plays in New York, but it's the contract year. Remember, he finished second in 2017. There were a lot of people making the case he should have won it that year. And that was a year Altuve, they ended up finding out he cheated. So maybe there will be a little bit of a narrative to get him an award. He's never won it before. So I do think plus 300 is a pretty good bet right now.
Yeah, I actually have a pre-flop bet for the season started on Aaron Judge at 20-1. So I hope you guys are right, because it felt like you knew Ohtani and Trout were kind of going to stay up there, even though the Halos now 11 losses in a row got swept in brutal
tough one yesterday.
With the kid Stott, who's from right here in Las Vegas, with the three-run homer after Bryce tied it up. But I'm with Will in terms of Judge, because I think Judge, you know, he was finally at least somewhat healthy last year. He didn't really miss a lot of games, hadn't missed much this year. He's had to carry him with Stanton was out of the lineup for a while, a couple others. But all of a sudden, the best two teams in baseball, according to record, are the New York teams, Will. So you're the king of New York, as Dave Ross calls you, the host of the New York City Cast. Who's the better team right now, Yankees or Mets?
I'll go Yankees just because of their pitching. The Mets in this current iteration, now you can say they'll get DeGrom back. You can say they'll get Scherzer back. Look, DeGrom has only pitched 15 starts in the last 2 years. Scherzer's older. He's had injuries the past few years. So I'll just say the Yankees just because their rotation is healthier. And boy, you can make a case. All five Yankees starting pitchers should be in the All-Star game. Cole's been dominant since a bad start. Cortez has been unbelievable. Severino's bounced back. And then you look at even Montgomery, who I think is underrated in Tyon. So I'll just say the Yankees, their depth of their starting pitching. They both should win the division. Now, Atlanta's finally started to put it together. You knew they weren't going to be that bad for that long when you just look at the names in that lineup between Olsen, Acuna's back. I mean, you just go down the line. They have good pitching. They have a good everyday lineup. So the Braves, I think, have now won five in a row. They're finally over 500. But they're still 8.5 games behind the Mets. Yankees, I think, have a 7-8 game lead in the loss column. Both New York teams in great shape here to win the division.
Well, Snitker said it yesterday, and it was a great point. You know, this is exactly where the Braves were last year. They go on to win a World Series, but nobody was running away with the division. The Mets are very much doing that this year. So it's a completely flipped. And by the way, you can't go asking Will Hill about the Yankees, comparing them to the Mets. He's got pinstripe boxer briefs on right now as he's doing this.
Lucky guess.
And, you know, it's pretty apparent that Aaron Judge, I don't know what the vibes are like within the clubhouse, but that arbitration case is definitely motivating him.
Yeah, and then the Yankees really cost themselves a lot of money not extending him earlier.
They killed themselves, dude. They dug
And I get why they want to do it. He wasn't staying healthy. He was asking for Trout money. He's not Trout. He's older. You know, he came up later, so he's already 30, but boy, somebody's going to give him a lot of money, and you do not want to get in a situation where you're in a bidding war and you have the Mets out there with Cohen. He would love to have Judge in right field for the next 8 years. You could have the Dodgers in the mix. You do not want to be in a situation here where you're getting a bidding war with Aaron Judge coming off this type of season.
No, not at all. And just looking what Will was talking about with the pitching here, when you look at the runs allowed, Yankees about 20 runs better than anybody. I think Houston being second, only have allowed 156 runs. Their second run differential, Dodgers the first, but that's because the Dodgers 290 runs leading all of Major League Baseball. So I'm with Will on this pitching. The Yankees, I mean, Cortez has stepped up. All these guys that have stepped up, you know, you expect Cole to be good, and you expect that Severino is going to be good, but all these new guys, even Jordan Montgomery, whose numbers don't look pretty, yep, but he doesn't get beat. He keeps you in games, at least, for that bullpen to take over.
It's interesting, too, because that bullpen, specifically the back end of it, over the past 5-6 years, Will, as you know, that's been the discussion. Like, how are they going to pitch enough? That's been the Yankees' discussion, and this year they're doing it. And by the way, Major League Baseball, Will Hill, they might get what they ultimately have wanted for the last few years. That Dodgers-Yankees World Series will do crazy numbers.
Well, how about this for a potential Final Four? Mets, Dodgers, and all the history of those two teams, those franchises, you know, the great pitching of the Mets versus the great lineup of the Dodgers. And we saw just an incredible series this past weekend, a great game yesterday. Amazing. The Mets won that game because the Dodgers, you know, went back and forth, but the Dodgers, man on second, the ghost runner, nobody out. And the Mets had both burned through all their relievers. They had Medina out there facing Betts, Freeman, and who was it, Turner, and he was able to get out of the inning unscathed. But you could have a Final Four, Mets, Dodgers. How about Yankees, Astros with all their history? And then whoever you get in the World Series would be a hell of a matchup, whether it's a Subway Series, which is probably a little too regional, but Yankees, Dodgers, you know, an Astros, Dodgers rematch. If you got those Final Four, it'd be just a dream for baseball.
Let's go ahead and throw those AL East numbers up quickly here, Santos. Interesting stuff as we're now headed into June. As far as the baseball season, you see the Blue Jays pre-flop plus 180 in division, the Yankees plus 230, and then you see the adjustment, the Yankees a $2 favorite now. You're going to get three probably in the postseason. I don't know if you expect at 27 and 27 the Red Sox to put something together here, Will.
Not impossible. Not impossible. And to go back to your point on the World Series, now is the World Series, is that going to be on TV or is Major League Baseball? Are they going to put that on the Peacock Network or Amazon Prime?
Goodness.
It's a joke. I mean,
we were just talking about that during the break.
Because I got the extra innings package as part of my television, and it's like being
out
here
packages.
Yeah, being out here in Las Vegas, it's like all the teams that I want to watch on the West Coast are blacked out except for the Angels. It's like, okay, I want to watch a Dodger game. I want to watch the Padres or the Diamondbacks. You used to be able to get, because Vegas didn't have a local team per se, you would get all these different packages. Now half your games are blacked out, so it's like, what's the point?
All these streaming services literally just tell me the games that aren't blacked out, and that's where I'll start because everything I pay for is like I don't use the MLB package anymore, Will.
Yeah, and your sport has no buzz. Nobody's watching it. It's a younger generation, and you make it impossible to watch these games. It's totally ridiculous.
All right, I know this is a weird question as we go to break, but why is Hunter Green favored today in Cincinnati? And we're going to discuss that coming back. Will, thank you. Keep getting after Kirkchin. We appreciate you. That's New York City Cast host Will Hill. This is the Lombardi. I want to come back with that. Arizona, Cincinnati today. Hunter Green favorite. He shouldn't be. We'll discuss. It's next here, Lombardi Line.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger.
I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it's the summer special, and to me, this one's a no-brainer. It's $39, so you get everything we offer through July 31st. That includes the baseball placement. We'll handicap baseball for you. We'll handicap the NBA Finals for you with JVT. Annie McNeil does a great job with the Stanley Cup playoffs. Got plenty to go there. Plus, got the NFL preseason coverage that we're taking care of. And you got golf. You got UFC. You got USFL, NASCAR, all taken care of. You can chill this summer. Let us take care of you for just $39. And included, if you want to do your own handicapping, is Point Spread Weekly, which is essentially our Bible. We drop it every Wednesday. That's included in the summer special for $39. Go to vsin.com/summer. Now, before I get to my Hunter Green take in Cincinnati, which I just don't understand how they're favored, but we'll get to that in a second here on the Lombardi Line as we welcome you back. He's Wes Reynolds. I'm Patrick Maher. So we joked about it a little bit during the break, but Long Shots is the best broadcast as far as golf is concerned, regardless of network. And Wes is part of that, of course, with our buddy Mr. Humans and our buddy Brady Cannon. They do a great job. I bring that up to say, how are you going to approach this LIV Golf? And if I'm saying it incorrectly, please correct me. But the inaugural event for this very polarizing event is coming up at the Centurion Club outside of London this Thursday through Saturday. Remember, they're going to go 54 as far as the event, and shotgun starts. So everyone starts at the same time on a different hole. It's so they're mixing it up a little bit. They're trying to get creative with their broadcasting. But I'm curious, as a better and just as a golf analyst, how are you handling this LIV Golf?
Yeah, as a better, we just got prices finally this morning because there's supposed to be 48 in the field. I think 42 were announced as of last week. So the remaining six, I believe there's a partnership with the Asian Golf Tour, and it's probably going to come from that pool. So the names that you've already seen are going to be the bigger names. And then the prices got populated this morning. Dustin Johnson, the highest ranked player in the world in this field at number 13, 10-3. So plus 333, it's like, man, that's a big risk to back a favorite in a tournament like this when he's already cashed. I already going to get $125 million guaranteed. So it's like, okay, is there the sense of urgency? And then just to see like Taylor Gooch at 9-1 to win a golf tournament. I know this is a smaller field, 48 players, but looking at some of the prices, Louis Oosthuizen 10-1, Sergio Garcia 12-1, Kevin Na, who resigned from the PGA Tour, by the way, this weekend, 16-1. Mm-hmm. So look, you know, I'm going to ride it up, and it's part of content. It's like, if they're going to book it, we're going to put it in Point Spread Weekly and talk about it a little bit on Long Shots. I'm sure Brady and I will get into that conversation tomorrow. I've gone on record. I'm not really a fan of the characters, the money behind this, nor am I the figurehead commissioner, Greg Norman, who every time he kind of opens his mouth, gets himself in more trouble. The recent piece in the Washington Post, there was a profile of him this weekend, and he's saying that Rory McIlroy is brainwashed by the monopolist and that Jack Nicklaus is a hypocrite because Jack did see a presentation of this LIV Golf. It came out that Jack said he turned down because he was, of course, hosting Memorial last weekend. He said he turned down over $100 million to kind of be like the face or a spokesperson, brand ambassador for this thing. And then, you know, he and Greg Norman have gotten sideways with this. And then it came out that Tiger Woods was offered high triple-digit million figures to be a part of this, and Tiger didn't want to be a part of it because Tiger has even said, I'm about legacy. Yep. I'm about tradition. I'm about major championships. I'm about winning PGA Tour events. And look, he's trying to still chase, not going to get Jack in that record of 18, but he's still tied with Sam Snead for 82 PGA Tour wins. That's the most all time. So some guys are more legacy guys, and then some guys are looking at this one. Look, there's a lot of money that these folks are offering for this thing. So, you know, if you're a guy in your late 40s and you're kind of a journeyman player like Richard Bland is on the DP World Tour, of course you're probably going to take this money. But with a guy like Dustin Johnson, that's telling me he doesn't care about legacy. I got my two majors. I got a U.S. Open win. I got a Masters win. I can still play in the majors because, look, the PGA Tour doesn't govern those majors, by the way. So if there's any kind of suspension or repercussions for guys leaving this tour and going and playing this LIV Golf Tour funded by the government of Saudi Arabia, then they can't really suspend him for majors. They can do so for PGA Tour events. But I'm curious to see how this event is going to be. The second event is supposed to be in Portland, I believe, the first weekend of July. So are more players going to be more than willing to go play this, being like, okay, this early batch, this early first field of players, they kind of took the shots from the media and everybody else about this. So are we more than willing to go do that and risk our status on the PGA Tour?
Viability long-term for the tour. Do you have a prediction?
Oh, you know, it's hard, Patrick, because, look, it doesn't have a TV deal. It's going to be,
They're going YouTube. They're going Facebook.
I guess Arlo White, by the way, who is the voice of the Premier League, basically, for NBC Sports and that whole family here in America, is going to be the voice of this. So, you know, I don't want to say it doesn't have, because I want to see what this second event is going to be, if you're going to see more players end up going to this. But, you know, I'm not necessarily rooting for its success, because I think, you know, and it's not just about me being loyal to the PGA Tour. It's like, I think the PGA Tour, you live a pretty good life. I think this is not about growing the game, this LIV Golf Tour. This is about money. Mm-hmm. That's flatly what it is. And we know we don't even have to get into the characters that are funding this league and where this money is coming from. I think people can read about that and make their judgment for themselves.
Yeah, so it's going to be broadcast on YouTube. It's going to be broadcast on, I believe, Facebook. So that's good. My mom, my Aunt Cheryl, and my girlfriend from my sophomore year in high school will be watching on Facebook. Other than that, I don't know what they're expecting. I think the judgment of DJ, if you want to go that road, I try to just stay away from judgment.
Yeah, so do I, because, I mean, everybody's situation is different.
Totally.
So it's not like if somebody is playing in this that I'm accusing them and saying,
no,
hey,
totally.
You know, you're a bad guy. But, yeah, I think that there are clearly bad guys that are funding this whole darn thing. So we shall see. You know, there's all the kind of rumors that maybe Ricky Fowler is the next to go. I think those have been squashed a little bit. Or Phil Mickelson, is he going to finally go? He got in trouble in the first place for speaking candidly about this. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what is going to happen. But as I mentioned, the news this morning, Arlo White is apparently going to be the
voice.
That's
a big name.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's a guy that's done a lot of international sports. And I don't know what the financial terms were. I'm sure he got a lot of money, though, to be able to do this.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's unsavory and it's blood money connected to the inception and the building of this golf league and the brand. You know, I try not to get in people's pockets. When people start telling me how much money they think DJ has, I was like, you never know somebody's situation.
No, you don't.
But the optics aren't great.
Well, he's probably still paying wedding bills too, by the way.
That looks like quite an extravaganza.
That didn't look cheap. I mean, that was not some shotgun wedding, considering they've been together almost, you know, 8 or 9 years before they got married. So that was expensive doings down there in Nashville.
But nobody, first off, nobody is as dexterous as you, so you'll cover every sport, including we've got an F1 podcast that Wes does now. But the bottom line is, on Long Shots, you will be covering the league.
Yeah, we will, and our guest Jeff Feinberg will be on, and we will ask him about it, kind of what his opinion of the viability of this. This week, by the way, the PGA Tour up in Canada for the RBC Canadian Open. That's been canceled the last 2 years due to COVID restrictions up there north of the border. So Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, Cameron Smith head that field. So pretty good field for the week before the U.S. Open.
Don't have to jump too deeply into this or delve too deeply into this. Can we throw this up? The D-backs Reds, they open up a 4-game series, first meeting between the two this year. You know, that NL West is so brutal, and Arizona has outperformed expectations thus far. Wes Reynolds, 26-29. I mean, they're looking up at the Dodgers, the Padres, San Francisco. And, of course, they lost yesterday 3-0 to the Buccos. But here's the one thing. If you take the two series against the Dodgers where they lost all 8, outside of that, they're 16-8 over the last little run here. So this is a team that's actually performed well. Baumgartner, what, year 3 there with the D-backs and the Snakes, and this is probably his best stretch there. This is a team, and the Reds going the other way, Hunter Green today. This is a team that has been favored 12 times this year, and they're 4-8 in those 12 times. So this is not a very good baseball team. You know that about Cincinnati. They're 18-35. The Nats just came to their park and won 3 of 4 over the weekend. And specifically, as far as Arizona's concerned, they're second in slugging, second in OPS versus righties on the road over the past month or so. I know Green's great against lefties, and the D-backs do have a bunch. I just, to me, it's just a misprice. It's the price is mispriced as far as the Reds being favored here. I know they got up to 120 and it's dipped back a little bit here to 113, but I'll take the D-backs taking the plus money with Bumgarner v. Green today in Cincinnati.
And I will say Green has gotten better. He really struggled early in the season, but I know he only went 3 2/3 against Boston last time out, but had gone 7, 6, and 5.
Yeah, there was a stretch there where he pitched really well.
Early in the season, though, he was getting pulled after 2 2/3 or 3 innings. But so I think that there's some positive regression coming for Green, being that he's only 4-3 on the xFIP, 6.19 on the ERA. But Mad Bum has been really good. Look, 3.31 ERA, 1.196 on the WHIP. And you mentioned about Arizona against right-handed pitching, especially on the road. So
just a price play.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised. I was surprised the D-backs were like maybe minus 108 and the Reds would be minus 102. Yeah. I would have thought a little bit of reverse here.
You don't have to tail it, Wes. It's just a price play. Saw it this morning and said that jumped out to me. Bumgarner's been pitching well. We're coming back with Josh next.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
VSiN contributor Jeff Siegel, he's made you some money. He's been killing it for us here, coming off a winning Preakness pick. He did it right here on the Lombardi Line. Now you can get $25 free to bet and follow him in Saturday's Belmont Stakes. All you have to do is sign up for First Bet, the preferred horse racing app of VSiN. Go to vsin.com/horses for details on this exclusive offer for VSiN fans. That's vsin.com/horses. Okay, so make sure you check it out. Use the promo code LVBelmont and then join Jeff in rooting for his pick on the final race in this year's Triple Crown. I'm going to have a write-up as well coming up here at vsin.com. As far as the Belmont, I will say this. I have clubbed the Kentucky Derby winner Rich Strike incessantly, and that horse has been training like a monster. That horse has been training really well heading into the mile and a half, 12 furlongs there at Big Sandy in Belmont. Okay, we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line. Michael Lombardi out. Wes Reynolds, I'm always thrilled to see him. He's in today. And another guy we're always thrilled to see, although we haven't seen him in about a year and a half, is Josh Applebaum. Of course, Market Insights is the pod of Betting Across America with Pritch. He's our buddy. He's an author. He's a great man. And he has been gone forever. How have you been, my friend?
Oh, Patrick, West, I've been fantastic. I tell you what, Patrick, San Diego, I know you've been there. We actually went by Del Mar Racetrack. I was thinking of you because Lisa's fiance is a big horse racing guy. We got the daily race book, bet on a couple ponies there. But man, San Diego, the tacos, Coronado, Del Mar, the whole thing, it was such a great time. And I'll give you a quick story, guys.
Please.
You know, I always joke about I annoy people with, you know, contrarian betting and betting against the public. And I always make the analogy of you walk into a bar, everybody's wearing the jersey of Team A. You know, and it's 90% or more. I want to be on the other side. Well, actually, I was able to live that. We went to the Ballast Point Brewery, downtown San Diego. Fantastic. Patrick, some IPAs. I found some of them on the West Coast, which was fun. But here I am. I walk in a Jason Tatum jersey. I'm the only one in green. I'm sweating game one there. You know, don't get me started last night, but had the 3.5. Everyone's joking with me. They're all wearing, you know, Curry, Klay Thompson. But I walked in the bar as the only Celtics fan. Celtics were down early. They're giving me, you know, some crap as a New Englander. But they came through in the fourth quarter, got it done. So the analogy of, you know, walking into the bar and the only one, you know, wearing a Celtics jersey, it came through for me. Game one, it was one of the highlights of the week, guys.
Josh, well, how about these Southern California people apparently gravy training off a Bay Area team? I know it's rough.
That's
time
true.
In Lakertown and Clippertown right now. But, geez, I didn't think that they would get that desperate to go with the Bay Area team.
Josh, you look rested. You look like you got a tan. It was a much-deserved break. All kidding aside, Josh works harder. I'm probably hanging right now with the two hardest working dudes here, Wes and Josh. And yeah, it would take a lot of San Diego to kill you, right? I mean, that's about it. That's a great place.
Oh, it really is. We also went whale watching. We actually got pulled over by the Coast Guard at the very end. We were coming back in, Patrick. So I got a little sunburn. It was, I had a little tipsy there. The over under, a half throwing up, in the middle of the ocean. It did cash there, but I cannot complain. It's great to be back. And I'll just tell this to everybody. When you're betting and grinding every single day, you keep your head down. It's forest amongst the trees, but you take a week off. To me, you realize how much you love betting. It's great to be back, guys.
And the summertime really is a good time to do that. I know even if you're the most avid baseball bettor, this is 162-game season. You got to take a time away. Like, there honestly are going to be, even when I don't have time off, when I have mornings and I'm just looking, it's like, I don't know if I really want to run the baseball numbers. Maybe today would be a day like that.
So are you saying it was a good idea when I asked Bill AD in my contract for the month of July off, Wes Reynolds? Are you saying that was a good idea?
No, that was a fabulous idea. We talked about that earlier. Once we get to July and the Cup Finals are over and the NBA Finals are over and it's like, oh, man, what do we got to talk about? We're going to have to get our producers, Matt Santos and company, are going to have to get really creative because then it's like, because I was sitting here with Femi on Saturday for Betting Across America. He's like, I can't wait for football to start. I'm like, brother, you haven't worked July here yet, have you? You're in for a rude awakening.
Just getting beaten down. Speaking of beatdowns, you just flossed and flexed about your Celtics. Last night was ugly. Now we turn to game three coming up on Wednesday night. Got a 3.5 number there, Josh.
Yeah, so obviously series going back to Boston. Series tied 1-1. And the intriguing thing yesterday, guys, to me was a little bit of that under money coming in. You saw that total fall a bit. Obviously, it was a blowout there with Golden State. But now that we're heading to Boston, the updated series price right now, tied 1-1. Golden State -115, Boston -105. So we're kind of back to normal here. So, if you miss some of these good numbers and you feel there's value on one of these teams, you're pretty much getting a pick'em number on both sides here. But what I'm seeing across the board, guys, and the interesting thing is we got to wait a couple days. I wish it was a game tomorrow, every other day. We got to wait till Wednesday here. But really kind of a line freeze type situation. This game opened around Celtics -3.5. It looks to me, and we got to wait this thing out, see where the public gets down. But early betting to me is public, looking at a trendy dog here with the Warriors. How do you blame them? Obviously based off of yesterday and, Draymond kind of giving their team a spark there defensively. You feel like, how do you not take Golden State plus the points? But I'll just be a little bit careful. You're starting to see, a slight majority and could even rise over the next couple of days toward Golden State. Yet this line has pretty much stayed -3.5. And you do have a lot of numbers here. Boston off a loss. And when they flipped the switch in January, they have not lost consecutive games all season long. This is kind of their thing when they, are backs against the wall. They come out and play well. Celtics off a loss this year, 24-13, 65% ATS. You've also seen these playoff favorites do very well straight up. They're at 69%. So I'd keep an eye. If we get into a situation where public is all over Golden State, but we don't really see this line move too much, I'd be looking at Boston in a bounce back spot, maybe money line -150. And could we see another low scoring game? That could be in the cards here. A lot of these books open 214, 213-ish. You're down to around 212. And we have seen these playoff unders do very, very well, around 62%, especially when you have these heavily bet games you can go against the grain. So again, let's wait this thing out, but it might be a fade the trendy dog play if everyone loads up on Golden State as a dog.
Yeah, Josh, I was going to ask about that total because 210.5 was the opener for game one. Then it got bet up to 214.5, goes over 228 combined scored. And then last night reverts back to four, maybe a little bit too much of an adjustment. So it seems like the bookmakers kind of going to split the difference here, 212.5, 213. But are you going to kind of go with what we've seen a little bit in the playoffs? It seems like in most series, starts out high scoring, then as you get into the high leverage games in the middle of the series, games 3, 4, and 5 and beyond, then you start to see some lower scoring outputs.
I think you're totally right, Wes. And again, the other angle here is when you're a contrarian bettor like me, these are the games that you love to take these gross, disgusting unders because the public's coming in and they're saying, hey, you got Tatum, you got Brown, you got Curry, all these guys, Klay Thompson, let's hammer the over. How do they not easily go over this number here? But the market is telling us based on the opener around 214, the line falling, they're taking in some of this under money. And again, if you get these situations where 70%, 80% of bets are on the over, yet the line falls, that's really a classic reverse line move to the under. And to your point, Wes, you kind of wait until, game 6, game 7. That's when these unders really, really come through, these tired legs, late series unders. But right now you're getting a lot of matches here. When the total is 210 or more in the playoffs this year, the under is 47-24, 66%. So let's see. One thing I'd be cautious of, because it's on Wednesday, we may see some buyback here back and forth. But again, early movement here is definitely toward the under, and it is a great time to back those hazmat unders.
Yeah, and I want to give all the hosts here and producers here at VSiN in advance props for talking about this game for two more days before it's played because you can only analyze it so much. In doing so, let's go to the baseball. You got Waka, Syndergaard, the Angels, an absolute free fall right now, a spiral. The number open Syndergaard in the Angels, 127. However, you're seeing a ton of Boston money here, Josh.
Yeah, Patrick, this is a play to me that, you know, I'm a little worried because it seems too good to be true because the Red Sox are finally back at 500. You know, they've been below 500 pretty much all year. They've won four straight. On the flip side, the Angels, the coldest team in baseball here. They've lost 11 straight. Mike Trout's 0 for 26. This is the worst hitless streak of his career. But I would say this is one of those games where, you know, it's not a too good to be true. I think really a lot of respected money is saying, let's not overthink this one a little bit. Angels are struggling. Red Sox are playing well. As you mentioned, Patrick, Angels open as high as, you know, minus 125, minus 130. Now they're down all the way to minus 112. So this line is moving in favor of Boston. Waka's been great this year, 2.43 ERA, really leaning on the Red Sox bats. They've come alive a ton here recently. And by the way, in June, guys, overs have really, really struck back here. They're 41-30 in the month of June as the weather is heating up. But the Red Sox trading around 260, 244 here for the Angels. You also have kind of a classic, you know, road dog high total, maybe some over money here at open 8.5. It's up to 9. The wind looks to be blowing out a little bit as well. But you're seeing this line drop toward Boston. I'm going to take the Sox here, guys. You can find any kind of plus money, plus 105, plus 103. I'll sweat the Sox in my first day back in New England.
Do you know, the best part about you going to San Diego for 2 weeks and leaving Massachusetts is you didn't have to hear the horrible accents for 2 weeks, right, Josh?
Oh, it was great. But then you walk into a bar and the joke there as I'm hanging out with the fiance's friend is I'm the brother-in-law from Boston. There's all these yes. jokes, you know, hey kid, what are you doing? So I got a lot of that, Patrick, but you know, I got to rep when I'm out there. You know, I only go out there once a year.
Don't just do us all a favor at the network. Don't ever say, quote, I got a rep. You're the best. It's great to have you back, buddy. A well-deserved vacation, a bunch of IPAs. You look ready to go. So nice to have you back. We'll see you on Betting Across America later. And of course, the podcast as well. And the daily newsletter. We missed you in that as well.
I appreciate it, Patrick. And yeah, you know, take a break. Again, I'm serious. When you take a week off, you realize how much you miss and you love betting. We got the best job in the world. I miss San Diego, but I'm great to be back here, guys. It's awesome to be back.
Thanks, Josh. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Josh.
We're coming back. The Avalanche looking to close out the Oilers tonight. However, Wes and I both have a play on the total. We'll get to that. You can follow Wes Reynolds on Twitter, WesReynolds1. You can find us at VSiN Live. We're back here, Lombardi Line. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, this is for Dez, the BetMGM Rewards program. Listen closely, Dez. You get points every time you go bet over at BetMGM. And tell Ken, risk-free tokens, free bets. And if you're planning a trip here to Vegas,
stop by and say hi to Ken and Dez, and also use those BetMGM reward points for, you know, for comps at the hotels, food, you know, online with the bonuses. It's really, all kidding aside, it's just like a credit card. They're the first to do it. It's the best loyalty program in the business. It's the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM, got to be 21 years or older. 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue.
Nice mention of Ken and Dez there.
Don't they deserve it?
Our two cracked production staffers that lead our crew here and keep this place from burning down about maybe two or three times a week at least.
Let me say this. Dez is one of the first people I met when I moved here. She's one of the kindest people around, one of the most talented as well. And Ken is essentially MacGyver.
He is.
The problem with Ken, and I'll say this to the management as well, he is the best engineer on the planet, but here's the thing. He likes challenges, so instead of being like, let's get the real, what we'll do is we'll take this paperclip and we'll take this piece of gum, and I can launch a spaceship. And he literally can, but that's the problem. You understand what I'm saying?
He once told me he likes coming in about 1:30 or 2 in the morning when nobody is here, because it's like, then I can actually get some freaking work done.
You know what he is?
I have to mess with your guys' problems.
He's not like me. He's actually a manly man. He does, like, ice fishing and stuff. It's a whole different ball game, okay?
Got a lot of them. John Brown, JB, does a lot of ice fishing
as fact,
well.
In fact, Ken's building a deck right now for fun. Before we get to the hockey game tonight, I've been really into this series, even though it's been all Colorado. I know it's a new audience because you've told the story on the air, so we won't get into the long version, but Wes Reynolds went with Aaron Oster to AEW, which is wrestling, right?
Yes.
So they went recently to an event and got stuck in an elevator. And I could tell by your reaction, Santos, you're more like me. I said, well, how many people were in the elevator? And you said about 9.
Yes.
And it was for like an hour. Mm-hmm. And I asked you if you got claustrophobic, and you were like, eh, not really. That to me sounds like an intense experience.
Well, I was getting a little impatient. Not as impatient as the very nice lady who actually sat in the box, the same box that Aaron and I were in for the show. But, you know, she's about 8 months pregnant. So obviously, you know, probably, you know, getting in a little bit of a pissy mood, shall we say, because there was some guy, one of the staffers there, I guess one of the custodial staff there,
right,
at T-Mobile, got, anybody got any good jokes? You know, because they're waiting for like the fire department to come to have to pry us out of the elevator. And she goes, No, this is not the time for levity, okay? Because, you know, we all want to get out. You know, it's Sunday night. It's a holiday weekend. So we were there a little bit over an hour, the fine folks at the fire department, because then they were the lady that we called on the phone when we have to call the operator because the main door didn't open,
right,
like the inside door was stuck and we couldn't pry it open or else there was, you know, they told us not to. And they're like, the elevator dudes is what the operator said. I was like, well, who are the elevator dudes? You know, when are they going to come? And they go, oh, about 45 minutes. We're like, 45 minutes? And then eventually the fire department finally came and released us. And the folks at the T-Mobile Arena were waiting for us. We felt like we were like, you know, it's like when the girl fell down the well in the 1980s. Yes. And you've got like everybody waiting for you with waters and drinks and chairs to sit down and taking down all your information. But it was an interesting experience. Well, at least it didn't go longer than that.
And no offense to you, but the moral of this story, where we started, Ken would have fixed it.
Ken would have had us out of there in like 5 minutes. You kidding me? he just slipped a credit card.
Ken would have been like,
thing.
Yes, I was hoping this elevator would stop working. I was bored.
He's like, okay, stand back. I'm going to, you know, I've got like a bottle rocket to launch in here.
Dez is laughing because she knows I'm not lying. All right, Abs Oilers tonight. You know, how dominant the Abs have been over the past, 7 years in the West. They haven't been back. They haven't been to the Stanley Cup Finals since 2001. So they're looking to sweep the Oilers and get there. And when they do, they're going to have a ton of rest because of what's going on in the East here. One thing I will say is just Mike Smith. He's 40 years old. He's just way too inconsistent between the pipes for the Oilers. He's got a 5.39 goals against average in the three games.
And he was about as good as he can be.
But that's
what
he is. He's either incredible, and he was, you're right, in game three, because you take a look. Game one, what we have? 6 goals scored by the Oilers, 8 by the Avs, something like that. Game two, Oilers don't score a goal. Game three, the Oilers get just 2.
And that's where we are with the 3-0 series lead coming into this one. I joked with you that I was going to be square and go over because some of these numbers. However, I don't feel as badly because it's down to 6.5 at most shops as opposed to that key number of 7 on the
total.
Yeah,
waiting to see if Darcy Kemper is going to be announced. I think it's probably going to be Francouz, being that they're up 3-0, and it's like maybe you stick with the hot hand. But Kemper was on the ice, as was Barakovsky, their left winger, who's been out for decent amount of time here in the playoffs. So we'll see who is going to be the starter. I don't know how much of an adjustment that'll be if Darcy Kemper ends up going. Probably not too much here because, look, Edmonton backs against a wall trying to avoid the sweep. And I've seen a lot of people that kind of like Edmonton. It's like Connor McDavid, man. Connor McJesus, he can't get swept in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Dreisaitl as well has been quiet.
Right. But I absolutely believe that they can get swept here. Now, we know Evander Kane, who's been one of their leading scorers, took that bad penalty. And I know, you know, somebody on Twitter was saying, hey, you're being ridiculous. They killed the penalty, when I said, hey, that changed the momentum of the game. But it absolutely did, because McDavid gets on the board 38 seconds into the game. That place is absolutely rocking up there in Edmonton, Alberta. And then all of a sudden, you just get that bad penalty by Evander Kane, cross-checking Kadri, and Kadri out for the series. So, of course, the discipline of Evander Kane is now suspended. So it's like, why do you kill your own momentum? I know they killed the power play, the 5-minute major, and Mike Smith, I think, made like 9 saves, by the way, on that power play, 9 of his 39 saves in game 3. But still, you got to feel like that's a wasted opportunity for the Oilers. Like, man, they could have been
up loss.
They could have been up like 2 or 3-0 in the first period with all that momentum going. And then that's a completely different ball game. Then the Avalanche knows, like, okay, we're cooked. We need to just come back a little bit for game 4. But yeah, McDavid and Dreisaitl haven't really gotten going. They put up a couple points in this series, but they were leading. They're still leading the playoffs in scoring, by the way, which tells you how quiet they've been in the 3 games of these Western Conference Finals. And look, Edmonton, this just isn't a team in Colorado where you can just rely on your offense against them. Colorado, for as much as they score, and the fact that they have not lost on the road yet during the playoffs, they are 6-0. Away from the, the Ball Arena now in Denver, Colorado. So they're on the road. Pavel Francouz, 5-0 in his starts, 92 save percentage, .237 in GAA. So, yeah, I think maybe they stay with Francouz until the end of the series. And then it's like, okay, if Darcy Kemper's good to go, then we'll take him in the cup finals.
Yeah, once it dipped off that 7 down to 6.5, I do like the over. The over's 4-1 in the Oilers' last 5 playoff games as an underdog. Also over their last 25, 17-8 to the over at home for the Oilers. Look, you want to talk about kitchen sink with McDavid and Dreisaitl? This is a kitchen sink game tonight. Like, you throw everything. I agree with you, especially with that early McDavid goal. And when Edmonton, I talked about the barn down in Tampa. It just means something a little bit different up in Edmonton. When it started, they were going nuts, and they didn't capitalize. And we understand that the series essentially is over, but it's going to be a kitchen sink situation for the Oilers. I don't know if you in particular would have a lean on the side. The Avs have jumped up to a 135 favorite to close them out.
I do lean Colorado here a little bit. I just think that was such a deflating loss.
I totally agree.
They were ready to win that game and ready for La Bamba to play at the end. That's been kind of a new phenomenon over the last couple of years, is that I think it's based on their equipment manager who had some health issues, and that was like his favorite song. So they play La Bamba as their victory song, and they didn't get to hear it on Saturday night. So I just think that was so deflating at the end there for the Edmonton Oilers. And you wonder how much they have. Now, Colorado is without Kadri, but who's going to be affected more? No Kane for Edmonton or no Kadri for the Avalanche? I would lean toward the Oilers being more affected here. So if I'm going to play this, I'm probably going to be on the favorite to get the sweep.
Colorado's just more balanced. I mean, they're a better team. There's no surprise.
They have better goaltending and they have better defense. Everybody thinks, oh, these guys can't play defense. These guys are a really good defensive team. I think it just gets overshadowed because they can score with such ease.
They've just been knocking on that. I was surprised. I looked it up. I mean, if I thought about it for a second, 0-1 last time they were in the Stanley Cup Finals. They've been knocking, right? This has been a team that has been awesome for years now, and it looks like they're finally going
to
get to
the Stanley. Yeah, they had that conference semifinalitis. I think it was like 3 years in a row, including 1 year to the Golden Knights here in town, where they couldn't get out of their own way in those conference semifinals. Now they finally slayed the Dragon, and they just look like a mission team to me. It's like, okay, we're not going to blow this, and we're not going to let these guys get in the way, take care of business, and do it very quickly.
Dreisaitl 6 games without a goal. My goodness, back to Calgary.
what, that is wild. Those are two of the best on the planet in McDavid and Draisaitl. We both like the over 6.5. If it gets up to 7, remember, you can check out John Ewing, who runs everything over at BetMGM as far as the betting splits. And don't forget, we've got our betting splits up at VSiN.com. But once you get to that 7 is where the numbers really start pointing to unders. We'll take the over 6.5. You did a great job, my friend. It's great to hang out
with
you.
Good to be with you, Patrick.
Thank you very much, Wes Reynolds. I want to thank Mr. Uncrustable Kevin back there. What's up, Dad? Dez, thanks for stopping by. And Matt Santos, thank you. Odds On's next with Amal and Mike.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.